Amen. Well, let's thank the Lord for touching her, and let's pray for Lovey that the Lord will help her. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for touching Sister Cheryl and healing her body. And I'm praying that you'd please move upon this young lady and her family. Help her to be able to move, dear God, and come to this church. Praying that you'd bless her for her desire. Pray that you'd work in her life. I give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Also want to say it's good to see Juanita here today. And she's been praying, seeking the Lord. And that's good. Amen. I want to read from Revelation chapter 13 today. I'm going to talk about a topic that it doesn't matter. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't know John 3:16. But they know about what I'm going to preach on today. And it seems as though that even, I suppose, entertainment industry and so on have used this. I remember back years ago, there were rock and roll groups that would sing stuff about it. And of course, they was full of the devil and almost promoting it. But I pray the Lord would help me here today, and I don't want to just have the idea of a defeat. When I read it, I can feel sometimes people tensing up. I just want you to know we already know who wins the battle and the victory in all this. But there is a spiritual battle. We're living in the end of time. And I'd like for us all to be very aware of it, because I think the more the church is aware, the more holy they're going to live. And the more sinners are aware, the more they'll want to pray and be saved. So I'd like for the Lord to have a sanctifying work in today's service in the church, and a convicting work if there's somebody that's not saved, to where that people could really serve the Lord. And I really want to lift up Jesus in all of this. I'm not here to lift up the devil in any way. But if you were ever half-hearted about serving Jesus, this is not the time to do it. Amen. I know it's never a good time, because we could all die. But listen, we're living in the end of time. And to live half-hearted for the Lord anytime is dangerous. And I'll tell you, we're right before the trumpet blast. And the church is going to be caught out of here. And I don't want to miss that. Do you? Amen. Revelation 13 and 1, John says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horns ten crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." I want to go down to verse 16. Later in this chapter, another beast arises that many believe is what we call the false prophet in the end of time. And this is what the Bible records about this false prophet. It says, "And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666, or 666. I want to preach on the mark of the beast here this morning for just a little while. I want to talk to you concerning this beast and concerning the mark of the beast, and then we want to get into the number of the mark. That's my 3 points. I don't believe I'm going to have a poem. If you're looking for that, I'm going to disappoint you here today. But the beast, amen, has to be understood somewhat in order for us to even understand much about his mark. You see, this beast is an actual person, and the word beast is used to describe something about his character, about his lowly nature, about his great wickedness, about his animal-like viciousness, about how he has given himself over to the baser and more lower nature of man. But it also speaks to us of the demonic power that is behind him also. For you see, Satan, who was represented as a great and glorious cherubim in his beginning of creation, is also likened in latter years after his fall to a dragon or a serpent. And this beast, man, is actually empowered by the powers of hell. In Daniel chapter 9, the Bible tells us that there is going to arise a world leader. And the Bible says, and after 62 weeks in verse 26, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of the war, desolations are determined. I want you to notice it says the people of the prince that shall come is going to destroy Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman Empire. And so we know right now the general vicinity of this world ruler that the Bible called a prince is going to come from. He's going to come from the old Roman Empire. And the Bible says about this prince in verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant of many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And what he's saying there is that this prince that shall come out of the old Roman Empire is going to make a peace treaty with Israel in the end of time. And it's going to be for 7 years. I know it says a week, and we don't think this way, but the Jewish people did not just have weeks of days, they had weeks of years. In fact, they were supposed to labor and work for 6 years, and the seventh year they were supposed to allow their land to rest. And if you'll go into the Old Testament, you'll find that God judged Israel for not allowing the land to take her Sabbaths. And she rested for 70 years because she had went 490 years, amen, without a year of rest in the Sabbath. Amen. God judged Israel for 70 years and let the land rest because she didn't allow it to have that 1 year of rest. But at any rate, amen, what I want you to notice is that this prince that shall come is going to have a peace treaty with Israel in the end of time, and he's going to confirm this covenant for 7 years. But in the midst of that 7 year covenant, he's going to break it. He's going to invade Jerusalem in the middle of that time, and he's going to destroy their temple that they have and offer what's called the abomination of desolation there. And some people point to it. An old thing that happened back during the days, amen, of the breakup of the Grecian Empire, when a wicked fellow that could be a type of the Antichrist, he certainly had the Antichrist spirit upon him. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he went into Jerusalem, amen, and went into the temple and offered a pig to Zeus in the temple, and desecrated the temple. But there arose a guy named, amen, Judas Maccabees. Amen, his name was Judas, but they called him Maccabees, which in the Hebrew meant the hammer. Amen, he must have been quite a fella. Amen, because he destroyed Antiochus Epiphanes and cleansed the temple, and just a lot of other fellas. A lot of other things happened during that time. But I want you to notice, amen, that this Antichrist is going to come with the promise of peace, and the world's going to go after him. But he's a liar just like his father. He's a son of the devil, amen, and he's going to lie, and he's going to promise peace, but there's going to be desolation and abomination and war in the midst of it all. Now, supernatural power will flow from this prophet that arises. Amen. Amazing things are going to take place. Even the Bible talks about a false resurrection of the Antichrist to mimic the true victory of Jesus Christ over death. Amen. And I don't know if this is going to be a real resurrection, amen, empowered by the powers of hell, or if it's going to be a false resurrection. I'll tell you what, the whole world's going to wonder after the beast one of these days. His head is going to be wounded as unto death. Amen. And many people feel like this is going to take place in this middle time. Amen. And then he will invade Jerusalem and demand Jerusalem to worship him. Now, the Bible says that he sets up, amen, that image of the beast in the temple in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amen, that image of the beast is going to be set up for people to worship. And there will be a temple in Jerusalem. And this evil person is going to invade Jerusalem, set up his temple, amen, or set up his image in that temple and demand worship. Amen. And whether this was a cheap imitation or whether it was a real resurrection, I'm going to tell you that Antichrist and the false prophet, amen, are not going to live too many years longer, because the real Christ is going to come and take them and cast them both alive into the lake of fire. Amen. He is a beast, because he gives himself to the lowest nature of man. He is a beast because he's indwelt by Satan. And he's called the man of sin in some places because of his lawless nature. He is called the Antichrist because he is against Christ and is trying to replace Christ. Satan will inspire this man to do evil like the world has never known. Amen. We study about Hitler and see that he was the almost Antichrist in some ways. And if you've ever viewed or heard some of his old speeches, you realize he was inspired and anointed with a power that was beyond just what a man can do. But I'll tell you this, even though he had the spirit of Antichrist upon him, and even though he did many wicked and evil things, there's going to come a ruler that's completely given to the devil, and it's going to be a whole lot worse than that. Stalin was a man that was filled with this murderous spirit. Amen. And his reign of terror will not even begin to compare with what the Antichrist will do one of these days. Amen. So that is somewhat of a little bit of something about this Antichrist. I want to ask you here today, whose side are you on this morning? Are you on the side of Jesus Christ, the true Christ, or are you on the side of the Antichrist? Amen. It's not determined by Mark necessarily here today, but it's determined by your devotion. It's determined by what spirit you're of. It's determined by who you live for right now, because the spirit of Antichrist is at work right now in this world, and it's inspiring people, amen, to be immoral and wicked and lewd. It's inspiring people to give themselves to money and the economy. It's inspiring people to go completely against Jesus Christ and his authority, amen, and his rules. It's a different spirit, amen, than what the church is used to. I want to ask you, as we've discussed him, who have you gave yourself to? Amen. Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you risking your soul, amen, upon this world? and the spirit that is in this world, because there is a mark that is going to be coming one of these days. Amen. It's going to be an economic mark. Amen. Now the technology exists. You'll have to admit, back during the time that this was prophesied, amen, it would have been very difficult, amen, to have an economic system to where that if somebody had did not have a mark in their hand or forehead to enforce that they could not buy or sell. I'm going to tell you right now, the technology exists with our computers, amen, and with different things that we have now. I read a thing a few years ago about a few hundred students from Gonzaga University and the University of North Texas, amen, are testing new biometric finger scan programs, amen, where the scanners are being placed all over their town as an ordinary debit card or credit card system, but instead of swiping the card, they put their finger right there and it deducts from their account, amen, whatever money that they're spending. Amen, the company behind this effort is Sodexo, and if this pilot program is successful, they said, it could be implemented nationwide. It's like kind of a gift card. You put so much in this account, amen, scan your finger, it automatically takes it out of that account, amen, and they say, well, amen, it's hard to give your credit card to somebody. You never know, you might have your identity stolen, but I'll tell you, it's hard to steal your identity when it's your finger, amen. And so there's a lot of things like that. Now, that's not the mark of the beast. I don't want to even act like that it is the mark of the beast, but I am telling you, it is showing you and showing us all right now that the technology exists. Amen. If the mark, or if when Hitler invaded Poland, amen, back in the 30s and 40s, he was able to card everybody in Poland and to identify, amen, those Jews in just a matter of weeks. I just want to ask you, with the technology that's in place right now and the worldwide economy that's in place right now, what could the Antichrist do, amen, in just a few weeks' time? I'm telling you, we are living in the end of time, and it's no time to play around with your soul. Amen. It's no time to be worldly and half-hearted and rebellious against what God's trying to do in people's lives. You can be a part of this end-time spirit that's anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-law. Amen. You can be a part of that if you want to, or you can be a part of that last day revival where God said, in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. But I want to tell you something about this mark. It's not just going to be an economic mark. Amen. That's why I say, amen, I've heard some people be afraid of credit cards and so on, and in my estimation, you might need to be afraid of them for one reason, maybe getting too much in debt and spending, amen, without consequences and so on. Amen. But if somebody takes a credit card, that's not the mark of the beast. Amen. The mark of the beast is a spiritual thing. In fact, even though I realize that they can put things, microchips under your skin now, I understand that, and it can be invisible. But I also want you to understand, I believe this is going to be a visible mark. I believe that this is going to be something that people can identify in a very public way. Amen. That these folks are loyal to the beast. It's not just connected, amen, to the idea of the economy. It's not just connected to the idea of buying and selling. Amen. It's connected to worship. It's connected to how your attitude is towards this beast. It says that no man should buy or sell, say he that had the mark of the name of the beast. And it says he causeth all, both small and great, rich rich and poor, bond and free, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads. Amen. And he calls his people to worship the image of the beast. I want you to understand something, that this mark is more than just being able to buy groceries. Amen. This mark is more than just being able to buy gas one of these days. It's an identifying mark showing who you belong to. It's showing who you worship. It's showing who you lift up. Amen. Some have wondered. I've been around people that was afraid they could take the mark by accident. Let me tell you, you can't take the mark of the beast by accident. No, it is going to be a public declaration. I have rejected the authority of God. I have turned away from the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And I have turned to this beast and this false prophet. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation 13 and 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, there's the connection. The connection is, if somebody's name's not written in the book of life, amen, they're going to get the name of the mark of the beast on their forehead or in their hand. You say, Brother Lloyd, I would never do that. Now, wait a second. What are you doing right now? Who do you belong to right now? Amen. Who do you want what crowd do you want to fit in right now? I want to ask you, amen, how, if you're having trouble standing for Jesus Christ and living holiness and dressing right and being right now, I want to ask you something. Are you going to stand out all by yourself, amen, after the rapture and after all of this, and say, I'm going to stand for Jesus and let the world go by? Amen. I have to admit to you, I have my doubts about that. Amen. I want to preach to you right now, amen, that there's some people, amen, that's going to be identified with the same thing they've been identified for years. Amen. Amen. Yes. You see, if they are not, amen, in the book of life, Bible says in Revelation 13 and 15 that this false prophet, amen, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Amen. Even in one place, I believe it talks about fire from heaven falling upon people. Let me tell you, there's going to be some amazingly demonic miracles during this end time. And it's going to be very impressive to people. Amen. And judgment is going to come upon those who worship the beast and take the mark. It's going to start before they die. Amen, because in Revelation 16 and 2 it says, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. This, amen, sore is going to be just upon those people that have the mark, just upon those people that worship the image. Amen, there's going to be, amen, a judgment. Judgment upon those that are alive when Jesus comes to earth that have received this mark. In Revelation 19 and 20 it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them which had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And I tell you right now, amen, people take the mark, amen, because they're following the wrong crowd. They want to belong to the wrong type of people. Amen. They're trying to do their best, amen, to fit in this spirit that's in this age right now. What has happened? I'll tell you what happened. We're living in a world that has the Antichrist spirit moving now, amen, but there'll be a day. Right now it's hindered. Right now it's pushed back. Right now there's something that's restraining it. In 2 Thessalonians 2, the Bible says the mystery of iniquity
And that's talking about the spirit of Antichrist. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That word let is old English for restrain. Amen. He who restrains will restrain until he's taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they might believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to ask you, what is your pleasure? I want to ask you, do you love the truth? I want to ask you here today, amen, because there's coming a time when the restrainer's going to be gone, and all that's left is deceivableness of unrighteousness. Amen. I'll tell you what, God's working right now to restrain the spirit of Antichrist, but there's going to come a time when God says, all right, you don't love the truth. All right, you don't like this spirit. All right, you want it your way. I'll let you have it your way. Amen. I'll let you have a world without restraint. I'll let you have a leader, amen, that'll doom your souls to hell for all eternity. Amen. There you go. Amen. Live the way you want to. Do the way you want to. I'll tell you right now, amen, there's a restrainer in this world. Amen. And I want to go when the restrainer goes. I don't want to be a part of this old Antichrist spirit that's here in this world right now. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. There's a number of the mark. Amen. The Bible says that it was the number of a man. Now, 6, if you study biblical numerology, 6 is the number of a man. Amen. That's just the number that God has prescribed through the Bible. If you just read and find out where it's talking about 6, it's about man. Now, the Greek and Hebrew alphabet not only were just letters that spelled words, but each letter had a numeric system with it. So, I'll just be honest, there are words that add up to 666. There's probably names that add up to 666. I don't know if my name in Hebrew or Greek would add up to it, but I am not the Antichrist, no matter what some of y'all think. Amen. I know I'm not. Praise God. I just want you to understand something right now. I've seen people try to prove that Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist, or, you know, this one, that one, other. They took his name and made, you know. Listen, there is going to be one that's coming, and his name will add up to that. It will. For all of this other stuff, I believe the devil moves on some people, and they do it in all reality to discredit the truth of God's prophecy. But no matter how many guys out there that's setting dates and saying Jesus is coming, or this is the Antichrist, or that is the Antichrist, let me tell you, there is one coming. And he is going to be 666. But I also want to say this in ending this message here in just a little bit. I want you to notice that God's perfect number is 7. Amen. And no matter how much the devil would love to tell the world through his puppet, the Antichrist, that he's got the perfect system. He's got the perfect economy. He's going to have a utopia in this world. When you add it all up, it's always less than God's perfect number. Amen. It's always 666. I'll tell you what. Amen. Whatever God does is going to be 777. Amen. God's going to perfect this world. Amen. He's got the perfect king. His name is Jesus. He's got the perfect governor. Amen. Or government, rather. Amen. He's got the perfect in everything. And one of these days, after 666 has had his trial, there's going to be a 777 government. Amen. Yeah, let that one guy talk about 999. I'm looking for 777. Hallelujah. Amen. I also find it interesting. That when you add up Jesus's name, amen, in the Greek alphabet, it comes up to 888. Amen. Perfection plus one. Hallelujah. And eight in the Bible is new beginnings. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ is the new beginning of this whole world. Amen. I find it interesting that in the New Testament, there are eight titles given to our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, Lord Christ, and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's eight titles given to Jesus. And one of these days, Mr. 666 is going to come in contact with Mr. 888. And I want to tell you right now, amen, I know who's going to win the battle. It's not going to be the fella that's less than perfection. It's going to be the one that's perfection plus. Amen. Perfection plus. Amen. It's not going to be the old order of man. It's going to be the new beginning of a new heavens and a new earth and a new government and a new throne. Hallelujah. And if you're on his side, you get to reign with him forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Oh, could we all stand and let's give the Lord a praise. Whew. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember Sister Shirley Lester, when she's in revival here, she told that one time she was in the mall and saw these young people all dressed in black. It was very obvious that they was worshipers of the devil, and I know there's a gothic look maybe that I don't know if all of them, listen, all of them are under the umbrella of the devil. I'm not saying every one of them would claim that I worship the devil. I don't know about all of it. But these, it's obvious that they worship the devil. And she went up to them and she said something like, I see that you worship the devil. And this young man said something like, why, sure I do. Why wouldn't I? Something like that. She said, that's pitiful because he is such a loser. Amen. And I'll tell you what, the devil is a loser. Amen. I don't care if he wins the next election, the devil's still a loser. I don't care if he rules the world, he's still a loser. Amen. Because one of these days, amen, Jesus is going to come back again and take what is rightfully his. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to preach to you here this morning. If you're on the line trying to make up your mind, amen, who you belong to, you better make a bold statement today. Amen. I want the mark of Christianity on me. I want the, amen, I want Jesus to shine for me. I don't want a half-hearted religion. I want a whole-hearted Christianity where everybody knows wherever I go, whatever I do. Amen. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want y'all to feel bad at me, but I got pulled over for drunk driving Saturday morning. Amen. The back was all packed and I couldn't see that police officer was following me. And so he So he pulled me over. I thought, I wasn't speeding enough for a ticket, at least. I may have been a little over, but, he'll allow you a little over, seemed like. He pulled me over. Amen. Went over there to my wife's side. She woke up. Amen. And looked at him. And there's two Bibles on the dash and a Bible here. And he looked at my wife and looked at me. He said, I was following you and you kind of weaved a little bit. So I just wanted to pull you over and see if you was, I think he used the word inebriated or something like that. And he didn't even have me walk the line or anything. I think he saw enough evidence. He said, you must be tired. I said, yes, sir, I am tired. I need a little more coffee. Amen. Amen. But I was glad that he didn't have to have a whole lot of proof right then. Praise God. Well, I just said that to say this. I'd like for everybody to know we're Christians. I'd like for the devil to know. I'd like for God, amen, to look down from heaven and be pleased with us, amen, and pour out his spirit upon us. You know, there's some churches, I think if people would wander into the church service, they wouldn't know who they belonged to. They wouldn't know, amen, which side they was on. I'm preaching to you right now. I want Fairland to make a bold statement. We are on the side of the Lord. I want it to be obvious. I want it to be clear. I want everybody to know by the outpouring of the Spirit, by the way we live holy, by the way we live godly, by the way we worship God when we come to church, by the way we do our business, by the way we walk through Walmart. I want them all to know whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we belong to him. We got the mark of Christ upon us by our lives. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, glory. And my question to you is, are you on the line? You weaving back and forth a little bit? Hey, man, I want to ask you here this morning. Are you saved or are you lost? Whose camp are you in? Because it's going to be very plain one day. It's going to be very plain one day whose side you're on. Amen. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I want the church to live sanctified and holy. But if there's somebody here today lost, and you say, Brother Lloyd, I want to come out and away from that evil, sinful way that I've been living. I want to come to this altar and live for God. I want to confess my sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus and be saved. Is there anybody here, raise your hand and say, I'd like to get right with God today. Hey, man, if the trumpet would sound today, I want to go. I don't want to be here. Hey, man, I don't want to be a part of this wrath-bound world. Hey, man, I want to be a part of that group that's going to be around the throne eternal. Is there anybody here say, I'm lost and I want to be saved? Hey, Brother Lloyd, you made it pretty tough on me. I don't even hardly like to admit that I would be a part of the Antichrist crowd. Hey, man, but let me tell you, if you're not a part of Jesus Christ right now, you're part of that spirit right now. And it's restrained somewhat, but there'll be a day when it's unrestrained. Amen. Are you here this morning? You want to be saved? Amen. How many then want to say, I want to be a part of that end time revival? Raise your hand. Amen. I want to be a part of that distinct group that's a part of that end time revival. Could we come around this altar? And let's seek the Lord today. Ask the Lord to move in a special way in our hearts, in our church, in our lives.